Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. Happy Memorial Day weekend to everybody. Today's show, let's get to it. Chemical sensitivity, understanding the truth behind the myth. Now that's a whopper. I'm going to make some claims today that are going to spin your heads. But in the end, if you follow along, if you take the time to comprehend, I think you'll draw the same conclusion that I have over 25 years of working with this kind of thing. I'm going to make some statements that initially are going to sound bizarre, but I will lead you through the thought process. This, of course, is not theory. It's based upon a good 2 decades of clinical experience. So again, chemical sensitivity, understanding the truth behind the myth or the myth misconceptions. You know, years ago, when I was a little boy, I remember my mother talking to women in the neighborhood, and they were talking about this new thing called TMJ. This is the 1960s in New York City. And TMJ, temporomandibular joint syndrome, was a new word, a new diagnosis being used in medicine at the time. And it was new at the time. And it just meant that you were clenching your jaw at night and that this could explain all these other symptoms you had. It was my first youthful experience to what later became known as a diagnosis of exclusion. Now, I want you to get that because there's lots of ripoffs day to day in medicine based upon people running to doctor's offices being completely confused about how and why and from what they suffer and being given a diagnosis of exclusion, which really is just another word for it. What you're being told you have means absolutely nothing, and nor does it do you any bit of good. And people with chemical sensitivity get this all the time. The notion that you have multiple chemical sensitivities, that you run around wearing a gas mask because if you breathe anything in that doesn't agree with you, you're down for 2 weeks. And that you're told you have this and that it's explained to you as some immune reaction to your environment and that there's something wrong with you is largely nonsense. Truly, largely nonsense. I'm going to make some very strong arguments today. I want the audience to keep in mind that these arguments come from helping people with it, helping people get over it, failing at helping people get over with it, and working with it for a couple of decades, only to find that it comes down, as always, to basic concepts. Healing is a labyrinth, and we make it a labyrinth because we make simple things complicated. That's what we do, Homo sapien. That's the claim to the show, always. That's the theme. It's not as tough as you think, right? You don't like it when it's implied that you're the public, so you can't understand the decisions behind your political system. You hate that, right? You're a John Q. peasant, and you're too dumb to understand why we're in the Middle East and why the economy goes up and down, and the big brother will take care of it for you. Well, this same thing is expressed in medicine all the time. And you're suffering and you're busy and therefore it's too tough to understand. I don't think it's too tough to understand, but you got to put it on the A list. So those of you who suffer from what you think is chemical sensitivity, really listen today. And those of you who are, well, fortunate enough not to suffer from this, really listen today, because there's always, if you get to basics, something in it for everybody. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's with 2 T's, straighttalk.cc. Chemical sensitivity, understanding the truth behind the myth. How many people have you known to walk around so sensitive to everything that they can't function in public anymore? They're isolated, shifted away from the culture. You often see them running around the city with air filters on their mouth. They take rides in cars and they have to wrap themselves and use all sorts of conditioners and all sorts of filters to make sure that nothing that they consider toxic potentially gets into their blood, because it creates this massive explosion. This is not just the air, this is foods, food sensitivities, what people often call food allergies, make life hell. And there's a certain type of person that's very susceptible to this. We're going to comment on it in a moment. But here's the point. Chemical sensitivity is a diagnosis of exclusion. You walk into the doctor and you say, everything I eat, I have a bad reaction to. Everything I breathe, I have a bad reaction to. Nobody else has this bad reaction to it. Only I do, or only a few of us do. And then you form a little club. You go online, you get into the chat rooms, and then the doctors go into the think tank and come out with this brilliant name, chemical sensitivity. You see, it's dumb. It's fibromyalgia. There's another one. Fibromyalgia. You have fibromyalgia. You know what fibromyalgia means? It means your muscles hurt. Fundamentally, fibromyalgia means your muscles hurt. We have chat rooms. We have groups. We have international symposiums every year to explain why people have so much achy muscle. And 30, 40 years ago, we didn't have this. Fibromyalgia, another diagnosis of exclusion, was beginning its birth about 40, maybe 50 years ago, like TMJ was. And all it is a more technical word to describe what you tell your doctor. Think of that. You bang your head into the wall every morning for 10 minutes. And you walk into a doctor's office and you say, Doc, my head hurts. And the doctor says, let me see what that's called. And he goes into another room, consults with his friends, looks into the medical literature, comes out and says, your head hurts? You have a headache. And that's how stupid this is. So first of all, if you've been told you have chemical sensitivity, like it's some sort of a disease, like it's some sort of an entity that you've now been tagged with, get rid of this idea. Because you've been stamped with a meaningless term. Now I'm going to turn that into reality for you over the next 50 minutes. To do that, if you can, get to the website. That's straighttalk.cc. If you're driving, just listen. Listen as appropriately as you can. And later on, get to the website. Tons of great pictures today. Well, there you go. Picture number one, chemical sensitivity syndrome. It's a syndrome, which means it's all in the chat rooms. There are, as I said, symposiums each month somewhere in the world filled with rows of people, usually with air masks on, so they don't have an attack during the symposium. And there we have picture number one, sick building syndrome. That's one subset of chemical sensitivity syndromes. Then we have reactive airways dysfunction syndrome. That means you can't breathe. Your reaction means you can't breathe. Then we have another subset, multiple chemical sensitivity syndrome. And of course, we give these long titles, we give them abbreviations. And people love abbreviations. And people run around with little stamps on their foreheads with these abbreviations. And then they use these abbreviations when they're in their doctor's offices. I have MCS, I have SBS, I have RADS, I have RUDS. And they come in and they list on their intake forms pages of these abbreviations that they've picked up along the way, all of which don't mean too much. Whether you have multiple chemical sensitivity syndrome, MCS, or you have what occurs more often in the office than at home, SBS, or whether you have whatever occurs that creates the inflammatory response that shuts your airway passages down and causes asthma, problems, breathing, so on and so forth, which is what we call RUDS, or you have a larger set of RUDS, which is RADS, reactive airways dysfunction syndrome, it really doesn't matter. It's all a lot of hoopla in the sense that it doesn't get you to understanding. So get rid of the label. I'm not overstating this, guys. You guys with chemical sensitivity syndromes, you separate yourself as if you've got some sort of imprint, and the whole loci of your life revolves around it. And it's that is half the disease. Okay, why do I say that? Number one, as chemical sensitivity syndromes go, let's talk about food first. So now we're going to start getting into the meat of this discussion. Let's talk about food. All the foods you eat cause all sorts of problems. Hives, itchy skin, you can't breathe, muscular pain. You could have IBS. You could have leaky gut. Leaky gut's tied in. IBS is tied in. But what you know is you put food in your mouth, and 20 minutes to an hour to 2 seconds later, you're having some sort of bad reaction. And the first distinction you've got to learn is the difference between an allergic reaction and a chemical sensitivity reaction. And I'm going to have you just hold on to that. We'll get into the distinction later. But I'm not talking about an immediate reaction to foods you're allergic to, like peanuts. I'm not talking about a peanut or strawberry allergy. I'm talking about something that most people have that have problems when they put food down their gut. And that is that they eat it and they have these weird inflammatory reactions throughout their body that don't feel good and that take you out of the game and that may last for anywhere from 2 hours to 2 months. Now, what is this about? Picture's worth a thousand words. Picture number five. You must understand this if you suffer from anything like this, and that is your intestinal villi. The 25 to 30 to 35 feet of small intestine are lined by billions upon billions of little suckers called villi. And yes, those regulars that listen to the show are well familiar. And if you're looking at picture five, you're well familiar with this wonderful photo. The inside of your 25 to 30 feet of small intestine, where the food goes in a liquid form called chyme, C-H-Y-M-E, are lined with billions of these suckers. These little peninsulas, these baby little pinkies. You describe them any way you want. But they're these little finger-like projections on the inside of the 30 feet of small intestine that want that liquid food. They want to suck it in so they can send it up to your liver so you can live and thrive and prosper and get big and strong. Now, this is so simple. It's so simple. Those suckers are either with their hands or their suckers or their little finger-like tendrils, projections. They're either sticking out calmly, comfortably, blissfully, waiting to receive that food, that manna from heaven, or those little fingers are filled with anxiety. They're twisted. They're crimpled. They're crumpled. They're contracted instead of expanded. They're holding a rigid tone instead of a soft swaying one. They are, these finger-like projections, under control of the central nervous system through the vagus nerve going up to your brain. And they are deeply integrated into your psycho, emotional, spiritual being. That's where you start. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear you say, oh, the food is toxic. And I don't want to hear you say, oh, the food has chemicals. And I don't want to hear you say you've had these allergy tests. And the allergy tests show that you're allergic to all these foods. And that you have to eat off these ever-dwindling lists of foods that only leave you with water and rice cakes and iceberg lettuce. I don't want to hear this, because if you think that, you're wrong. Now, it's not like me to be emphatic, is it? No. But I'm going to be extra emphatic today, because I've dealt with it across the table too many times. The first thing you have to do if you think you fit the bill here, multiple chemical sensitivities, food allergies, which is a subset of multiple chemical sensitivities, the chemicals you're saying are in the food and you're reacting. The first thing you have to do is understand this is driven through your nervous system. Forget that you're reacting to the chemicals and that the chemicals are the problem. And unless you bleach your food and put it in the washing machine and dry it out so the sun air dries it and put it back in and then pray over it, unless you do all these things, you're going to have a reaction. Please leave that alone for now. We'll get to the certain degree of validity behind that claim. And yes, there is a certain degree of validity. But if you overlook the neurological dynamic to why you're so reactive, you're going to miss the boat and you're going to stay sick forever. So let's understand this. Picture number 17, if you're there, if you're just driving, listen along. The brain in your gut, known as the enteric nervous system, located in sheaths of tissue lining the esophagus, stomach, small and large intestine, submucosal plexus, myenteric plexus, so on and so forth, chakras, vagus nerve, the parasympathetic nerves, the relaxation nerves from the brain to the gut mediated through the vagus nerve, need a comfortable landing. The food needs the template of a relaxed nervous system and a relaxed GI tract before the food is even put near the mouth. Is that you, or are you that other person? How many of you are anxiety-ridden, obsessive-compulsive? If you have this environmental sensitivity stuff, if you have lots of this food dysregulation, don't think that you became nervous after you suffered from the symptoms. You were nervous and anxiety-ridden long before you ever had any of these symptoms. And you really got to come to terms with that. You really do, because the point is the brain in your gut, the wiring that would normally allow you to stay relaxed in your GI tract, so that you could receive the food, so that the villi could do the job God gave them to do. Yours have been offended, affronted, insulted, betrayed, kicked around, left alone, and often left to just wither and die like you were at one time in your life a long time ago, or felt like you were left like that. You got to take that one in. What we're saying is that much of what we're calling multiple chemical sensitivity, especially the ones revolving around food, all have to do with the psycho-emotional you. And the hookup is through the vagus nerve into the intestinal villi. Those villi cannot receive the food. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. You will not hear perspectives like this anywhere on radio. But for this to stick, for you not to get a headache, you've got to put health on the A list. You've got to take the time to move health from the C list to the B list to the A list. You got to look at it the same way you look at where and how you're going to invest your money. You don't have to be an investment banker to know how to invest your money. You have to know enough to seek good counsel. And it's the same thing about health. If you know just enough and you need counsel, you know how to seek good counsel. If you know nothing, you're just like someone that blindly gives their money everything you've ever worked for to somebody that rips you blind. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to have a basis in fundamentals. This show is about fundamentals. But if you're going to make the show worthwhile, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc, and look at the pictures. You got to give it a little more. Okay, so intestinal villi, little finger-like projections. They have millions of little cells called enterocytes. Epithelial cells, rectangular in shape, lining each individual villi, given the job to break, to pull the food in, and send it into your lacteal, your lymphatic system, or to send it up through the portal vein to your liver. Each finger-like projection, each villi, which singular is villus, has a job to do that it cannot do if the nerve circuit into those areas is giving it static. If the electricity from the brain down to that finger-like projection is static electricity, those cells of each villus don't know what to do, and you fail to digest your food. Even if you break that food down, it doesn't absorb well. And after a while, each individual cell on each individual villus, so all the intestinal villi and the cells that compose them, begin to inflame, meaning they begin to separate the spaces between these cells under an inflammatory burden, which is under a psycho-spiritual burden, begin to inflame and separate. And so you get partly digested food ending up in the blood that the immune system doesn't recognize. You get all sorts of toxic chemicals produced, different acids, butyric, nitric, lactic, all sorts of harmful corrosive acids produced because the digestion is incompetent. And the combination of foreign food particles with toxic food side effects creates its own inflammatory response throughout the body. Now, this is different than the classic food allergy, and we'll get into food allergies later today. But the point is, you have a digestive issue through the villi that is psycho-spiritually mediated. Well, now, what do I mean psycho-spiritually mediated? What does that even mean? What does that mean when you've got back pain or shoulder or breast pain for 2 months because you ate the wrong type of egg? I summed it up beautifully in one picture. Go to picture 29. Picture 29, for those of you driving, is a picture of a 3-year-old girl, and she is having a temper tantrum. And what I'm saying to you, and be honest with yourself, is that based upon childhood improprieties, oh, come on, you can't say that. Everybody gets kicked around as a kid. You can't put your finger on that. No, you're wrong. You are wrong if you're thinking that way. Some kids get hit hard during socialization, something along gestation to the oral, to the anal, to the edible, to the post-edible stage goes wrong. And it starts a temper tantrum. And that's what that picture is, 29. That's you having a temper tantrum, yes. No, you're 70 years old, but you are having a temper tantrum. You're not showing everybody. On the outside, you're cool, calm, and collected. You may be a politician. You may be a president. You may be mayor of a city. You may be a famous journalist, an actress, an actor. So outside, you're cool, calm, and collected. But you see, inside, you're having a temper tantrum. You are a bundle of mercurial, volcanic, volatile emotions and it's all going on in your gut. In your gut, your villi look like that little girl that's crying and stamping her feet because something went wrong along the way. Something truly went wrong along the way. Now, what went wrong? I'm going to give you one example because this one example encapsulates the stories of so many people I've seen over the years with multiple chemical sensitivities and the food allergies and they can't eat anything and so on and so forth. I'll give you one example. It's called Daddy and the Little Girl. Daddy comes home and little girl comes running up to Daddy with today's array of problems. She couldn't find her doll. Johnny was mean to her at the nursery school. Mommy had a nasty temper and whacked her on the fanny. The dog growled at her. And worst of all, there was a spider under her pillow. And as we all know, if we were fortunate enough to be well socialized, when the little girl or the little boy came running up to Daddy to express their concern, Daddy walked away. Or Daddy didn't come home. Or Daddy told the little girl to go shut up and go back to Mommy and complain to her because Daddy was tired. So Daddy didn't come home. Or he came home violent. Or he came home drunk. Or he just came home angry. Or he listened and walked away. He was non-reactive. Or he came home and started yelling and you didn't want to go up to him. Any one of the innumerable scenarios that we could depict left the little girl hanging, abandoned, and with nobody to feel safe and comfortable with. There was no lap to sit on. There was nobody to hug. There was nobody to just listen to. There was no counsel given. There was no caring shown. And by the time that little girl was 2 or 3 or 4, she was really upset. And whether she externalized it or internalized it doesn't matter. The point is, and I want you to get this, those who are listening, the intestinal villi went on a rampage. Now, there's various types of rampages. It's the fear rampage. It's the sadness rampage. It's the anger rampage. Whatever the adaptive pattern of the little girl was, or the little boy, becomes the adaptive pattern down in the gut. But no matter which way you cut this pie, that neglect, that abuse, that betrayal, that abandonment, that overbearingness, right? It can be parents that give too much attention. That entrapment. How about you sit down on Daddy's lap and he doesn't let you go? These improprieties can take a million different imbalances. Yes, it's true. We're not pointing the finger, right? You're not pointing the finger at your parents. I'm certainly not. Raising children is complicated. But nonetheless, in the end, you there with the air mask, you over there ingesting the wrong breakfast and paying for it for 2 weeks. Multiple chemical sensitivity syndromes, symposiums across the world scale, bringing gastroenterologists with scientific backgrounds and volumes written, are generally overlooking the biggest driving force behind the problem. And this is the point of this show. Make it simple. And what I'm saying is that little girl needed to learn to relax. It's all she needed to do. Now, it's only been about a decade or so that different doctors have started to use this word, enteric nervous system. Common sense dictated the truth behind this thousands of years ago. It's just common sense. Half of medicine is observation. Observation and experience, really. The Chinese and the Ayurvedics, the ancient Middle East, old Europe. Long before we had science, we had great doctors. And long before science and the technologies, we had great cures. Because medicine is at least 50% observation and experience. Observe, subject, and write down the changes in your observations. And you can get where you need to go. You really can. That's the first point of today's show. That Freud talks about stages. Picture 23. Freud talks about the oral stage, the anal stage, the phallic stage, or the Oedipal stage. And so on and so forth. And these things are complicated. But they're simple. But they're complicated. There's an art. Every mother will tell you there's an art. Every parent will tell you there's an art. And you've got these little beings in your hands that you don't really know what to do with. You don't. And then there's the world out there that they're being subjected to, and that world is different in their eyes than it is in your eyes. And there's all sorts of ways to hash this out. But the point is, in social development, no matter what psychological model you employ, are flaws, and those flaws create tension. And if those tensions go across thresholds, your child, from the time it's born, goes sympathetic dominant, meaning the vagus nerve gets shut and your anxiety impulses increase, and that is the end of digestion. Now, here's another big, big, big point. The body is just one mass of chemical compensation methods or buffer methods. By the time you get a disease, by the time you have a symptom, you have to understand that the body has compensated and buffered and gotten around and escaped and evaded what ultimately becomes your symptom or your disease. Long before you get the symptom, the body's curing the problem. The body's, I shouldn't say curing, buffering the problem. Long before you ever get the disease or the symptom, the body is compensating for the problem so you never feel the pain. That, my friends, is the genius of God's divine mechanism. Buffers. Buffers, backup systems, check valves, safety check valves, checks and balances, you name it. For every symptom you've got, the body had 10 ways to buffer that problem long before you ever felt the problem. And so perhaps you don't feel the problem when you're 5 or 10 or 15. Perhaps the problem, meaning the multiple chemical sensitivities, the food allergies, only begin after you're 30 and have had 3 kids. And so you say, what is this nonsense this Medici guy is talking about? I, at 40 years old, with 3 teenagers, have to go back to those years when my father beat my mother as an alcoholic? I can't even remember those years. I'm done with that. I've moved away. I'm out of it. And I haven't had any digestive problems until those 3 kids came. So listen, Dr. Medici, you can talk about Freud and all your little theories here, but in reality, this has nothing to do with me. You see, because I am 40, and I haven't really needed to address any of this nonsense since I was 10. And I haven't had symptoms until now. And again, this is where you have to learn. You have to educate yourself, because once again, you are dead wrong. What happens at 30, or what happens at 40 years old, is that you have run out of your buffer systems. Those mechanisms you use to compensate yourself for the problem are now worn out. You don't have any reserve left. So you guys have to understand that for every driving mechanism that will ultimately bestow upon you disease or symptomology, you always have this reserve tank of fuel to throw against the problem. And the reason you don't see the problem until later is because it takes 10 or 20 or 30 years for your reserve to wear out. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. No show like this on radio. It's not about what herb do you take for MCS. It's not about what supplement. It's not about the awesome power. Yes, herbs can help. Yes, herbs are good to use. Yes, nutrition's critical. But nutrition really, in its highest form, is a way for you to have the physical experience of what I'm talking about today. If you've got MCS, if you cleanse enough, if you get healthy enough, at a certain point, the emotions trapped in your gastrointestinal tract will begin to express themselves. You may be projectile vomiting at some point on your way to cure. You may go through a stage where you relive things you thought you dealt with and which you had dealt with, but you hadn't fixed the mind that still lived in your body. The mind that still lives in your body down there in your intestinal villi begins to come up to your conscious level, and you begin to puke out, spit out, have the physical experience of eliminating the pains you've been holding down in your gastrointestinal tract for many, many years. And that's the model you need to apply to really understand what all this MCS is about. And again, I emphasize, if you're stuck, and if you are thinking this, you are stuck on the chemicals in those foods make all the difference. And if we just got those chemicals out, we wouldn't have these problems. And if I only knew which foods to eat, I wouldn't have these problems. Please do not stay ignorant. Yes, you've got to initially learn to play the food game and minimize your chemical exposures. Of course you do, because you're in such a vulnerable position that anything, looking at a food the wrong way, will trigger a response. And so, yes, you are correct, but you're missing nine times out of ten, you are missing a more fundamental driving force. So I rest my case. Now, the reserve energy. What form does the reserve energy take? So what does your body use to quell, to put out, to dampen, to eliminate, to neutralize this inflammatory fire that produces these symptoms of MCS? It's called the adrenal gland, the adrenals. If your airways are constricting because you're having a multiple chemical sensitivity attack and you run to the ER room and say, my air pipe's closed. Actually, you're not going to say it. But they figured it out, hopefully before you're dead. What are they going to do for you? We all know they're going to give you something to bronchodilate. They're going to give you the same thing your adrenal gland makes. They're going to give you ephedra, epinephrine. They're going to give you cortisol, prednisone. They're going to give you an IV cortisol to vasodilate your airway. And that's what saves your life. Anyone that's been ever rushed to the hospital with an asthma attack, threatened their life is glad we have these emergency measures. But my point to you is that's what the body does. What you call your reserve energy, that which puts out the inflammatory fire so your joints don't ache, so your muscles don't hurt, so your stomach isn't in spasm, so you're not having some form of a low-grade asthmatic attack, so you don't get a headache. What your body does is send a message to the adrenal glands, and the adrenal glands squeeze and shoot out whatever amount of adrenaline and cortisol is necessary, both of those agents from different parts of the adrenals, each acting differently. The cortisol mitigates the aggressivity of the inflammatory system, of the immune system. The cortisol is secreted to shut down the immune system, which is part of the inflammatory response. And the adrenaline is a potent vasodilator to make sure your airway doesn't close up. Now, moms, or whoever, this is why you don't get it when you're 10. Because you've got these well-nourished adrenal glands that you were born with, and it takes 10 or 20 or 30 years to wear out. By the time you're in your fourth decade, even your third decade, for some your second decade, you're already adrenally exhausted. And depending on the God-given strength to your adrenal system, when that wears out, when your adrenals start to go substandard, is when you no longer have your reserve system. So which is it then? Is it the neglect of socialization? Is it the food that initiated the inflammatory response? Or is it the weakened adrenals? You see, this is where it gets complicated, but it's still simple. I don't care what you do for a living. You can understand what I just said. And if you can't, get on the website, look at the pictures, and put it together. You just may be someone that wasn't born with strong adrenals, and that's the bigger part of it. You may be someone that has finally hit the point where you have eaten every bit of garbage that McDonald's and Burger King have ever conceived of, plus you work at the Long Beach port, and you just might be at that point now where you can't deal with it anymore. Or, really, and this was my point earlier, primarily, first and foremost, 9 times out of 10, absorbing the biggest part of the blame is the fact that you live in great anxiety and always have, and your GI tract is always throwing a temper tantrum. All right, so we're deepening your understanding. Now you're starting to see what the realities are. Multiple chemical sensitivities. One, an imbalance in the enteric nervous system. Two, the reserve systems begin to deplete. Three, I'm not even going to mention toxicities in food. You know what I'm going to bring to your attention? I want you to consider this. And it doesn't matter, food allergies, or in this case, multiple chemical sensitivities. Right now, if God gave you two livers, the liver. Wait, let me say it differently. Once that stuff is in the blood, once the undigested food is in the blood, once you've inhaled too much of the chemical, the rate at which you clear the chemical from the blood, food-driven or air-driven, the rate at which you clear the chemical of the blood is the responsibility of the liver and the kidney, usually the liver. So we're deepening our understanding now. We're saying that forget the adrenals, forget poor parenting, forget the chemicals in the foods. Let's just understand that after that chemical breaks through the safeguards of those three things and it's finally in the blood, the liver is always there like a vacuum cleaner, sucking it out of the blood. If your liver worked optimally, if you had two livers, if you had two livers and four kidneys, if you were the new human with two livers and four kidneys, wouldn't matter what. The antigen, the thing in the blood that causes the reaction, wouldn't be there long enough to create the problem. So you got to understand another variable in this game here. People with multiple chemical sensitivities have livers that don't work so good. And again, of course, this is not respected in standard conventional allopathic MD, well, not MD, but in the hospitals that you go to with your typical allopathic approach. Variation in clearance rates is not really respected. If you look at the clearance rate of the kidney and the clearance rate of the liver, they're going to be done in ranges. It may be on a range, say, I'm just going to give it fake numbers, 1 to 10. And they'll tell you if your range is between 1 and 10, then you clear poison from your blood fast enough to be called normal. Your liver is normal. Your kidney is normal. It means they clear poison from the blood fast enough. But suppose your number is 3, meaning on a scale of slow being 1 and 10 being very fast, yours is a 3, but it should be a 6. They still call you normal. I want you to get this now. Suppose your level is 3, but you live in Long Beach. And not knocking Long Beach, guys. It's just the port gives off lots of poison, so don't flip on that. If you're in a very toxic area, Manhattan, say, and your number's 3, for you to live in that area, you may need a clearance rate like a 6. 3 may have done it in the country. 6 may be required in the city. Either way, you're still called normal because the range is 1 to 10. So the concept here, what I want to stamp into your mind, the concept here is variation. The required clearance rate is not calculated into the plan. There's very little respect given to variation in clearance rates and what the required number is versus the norm. Now, I know that's a mouthful, but you've got to understand this. And what's his name? Roger Davis out of Austin years ago, Biochemical Individuality, talked about this very eloquently. Formerly trained doctor of biochemistry, taught in the schools, brilliant man, talked about the fact that the norms given may not have nothing to do with you. And the norms given under stressful environmental conditions always have nothing to do with you. So Mary Smith, yeah, she lives next door. Very nice woman. Good woman. Mommy, why does she always have that gas mask on her face? Why is she always sick? Why does she come to holiday dinner and she's so anal about which food she can eat and can't eat because she says if she eats the wrong one, why does she look so thin and pale? Why is she not functional? Why is Mary Smith failing in society? Well, it just might be that she's got to bring her excretory functions to a number that nobody's telling her are required. It just may be that Mary Smith may need to live in the country. So, number 1, socialization issues. Number 2, buffer systems like the adrenals. Number 3, the biliary system. The variability in excretory rates. Before you even look at the chemicals in the foods, I've given you 3 huge things to look into. And number 1 will always overpower everything. If you're new to the show, if you're just cruising, listen in. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We're doing a little hour show on chemical sensitivities. Multiple chemical sensitivities. If you're driving, are you nauseous right now from the traffic jam you've been in for 10 minutes? Are the other members in your car looking at you funny because they can't even feel the difference and you're about to vomit? Could be you're one of those people whose socialization process has left your body in a sympathetic dominant state and your physiology is not optimal, even though your God-given genes are Superman. I'm just doing a little bit of application now. Could be your liver and gallbladder are so clogged that you can't process that nauseating toxicity of the freeway out of your blood fast enough to remain healthy and not feel nauseous. Could be that. Could be your adrenals aren't holding. Could be you're the one in the car that's had 4 kids and the other 3 women haven't even birthed yet. and your adrenals are exhausted, so you don't have any reserve adrenaline or cortisol, so you're the one having the airway obstruction. And now you got to turn off the car and go to the ER to bronchodilate. And the other three are looking at you like, why is she like this? That's just clinical application. It's fascinating, isn't it? Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. The body is fascinating. If you start to learn, if you begin to manipulate the variables, everybody's the same, but everybody's different. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. That's the number to my office if you're lost in the labyrinth with health concerns and you need them explained and figured out with agendas created to put you on the right path. 714-850-1007. Summer's a good time to take a move. It's hard to start things in Thanksgiving and Christmas when it's raining out. Okay, now I'm going to give you a mind-blowing. I'm going to give you a mind-blowing perspective here on why you have multiple chemical sensitivity. Some of you, it's more than some of you, have multiple chemical sensitivity because you're more developed than the rest of us. And I'm not being tongue-in-cheek. I am being dead serious. Enough of you have multiple chemical sensitivity because you're what the Germans call neurogenic. So German holistic medicine had a term for you. It's called neurogenic. And they determine this when the iris fibers of the eye are fine and not coarse. And I've handled this on other shows, but I can't, time constraint, give too much attention to how you determine whether you're neurogenic, except to tell you what I already said, that the iris fibers in the neurogenic person are fine rather than coarse. Lots of people with MCS, food or chemicals, are neurogenic. It means instead of two antenna, they have 10 antenna. So you, with the air filter on, you have 10 antenna or 20. You're more perceptive, and I'm saying more. Yes, you are more advanced. Yes, per unit time, you are pulling in more information in your environment than anybody else in the room, which means you're more likely to skitz out. You're pulling in so much information that if your lifestyle and your environment cannot compensate you for the amount of data you are absorbing from your environment, you're going to go into an anxiety pattern. Not because you're weak, not because you're inherently predisposed, but because you come and demand, your genetics demands a purer, more spiritual, more refined environment. Really, you're above us. And you're taught from the time you're little that your precocity makes you below us. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not being tongue-in-cheek. I'm not being sensational, extravagant, or minimizing it. I'm just telling you straight. A lot of people with multiple chemical sensitivity that sit down and react to things are reacting because they're alive. They are alive in their being. Why shouldn't someone in the day-to-day of this filthy, toxic, destroyed ecosystem of your average urban city, why shouldn't someone have multiple chemical sensitivities? Would you stick your head up the pipe of an exhaust tank and be criticized when you claimed, gee, it's toxic up inside this exhaust? Well, suppose you were sensitive enough to feel the carcinogens, to feel the infections, to feel the poisons. Suppose you were just more sensitive as an advantage, as a potential advantage to adapting and existing. And that is what I'm saying to many of you. with multiple chemical sensitivities. You were born what the Germans called neurogenic. You're more developed. And yet, if this is not understood, if your super giftedness is not understood, if you're the little kid that's picky about the food, if you're the little kid that's picky about the room, if you're the little kid that's picky about the smells, if you're the little kid that's sensitive to things that no one else is sensitive to, and you have two parents who are lower consciousness, who are less developed, who are more numb, who have been more traumatized, whatever, and you're left there abandoned instead of exalted, you're going to have a temper tantrum. Those of you with MCS who were born precocious and have not had that precocity honored are going to have a temper tantrum. So you grow into an adult who's 50% more gifted, more sensitive, and 50% in rage at the insults you've suffered. And the combination of both of those leaves you MCS. Now, those of you who fit the bill, you need to listen to this show again. And I'd appreciate a few comments online because I see so many people like this. As far as I'm concerned, this MCS thing is being grossly misunderstood. I want to know you get it. Listen to the show again and again. I don't care if you have to listen to it 50 times. If your life has been taken away or minimized, if you can't do the things you want to do, you got to look in to show 314. And for everybody else, if you need help, I'll give you the number once again, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. 1007. Have a happy Memorial Day weekend. Let's celebrate the beginning of summer and let's celebrate Memorial Day weekend. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.